Welcome to another interview. This is Mark McNeese here, and today I am talking to Tom Coffey. Tom is a fellow member of the Mystery Writers of America New York chapter. I also had the pleasure of doing a panel with Tom at the Hoboken, New Jersey Library back in November. Tom, how are you?
Okay, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's nice to talk to you again and in a very different sort of situation because it's not a panel. There's no audience. It's just us talking. I'm looking forward to that. Okay. Tell us a little bit about your life. We were just talking before the recording. You're in Battery Park, you and your wife and daughter. Right. And I had lived in the Gramercy Park area for quite some time. Fill us in a little bit.
Okay, well, I grew up in New York. I'm a native New Yorker. I grew up on Staten Island during, as I like to call it, the Godfather Serpico era, otherwise known as the 1970s. And while I was growing up, I certainly got interested in things like, you know, crime dramas, crime and mystery novels. But also I became interested in journalism. And my parents had always made it very clear to me while I was growing up that I was going to have to make a living once I got out of college. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? And I thought, you know, being a journalist in New York City, you know, it seems like an interesting way to make a living. And I have to say, for the most part, it was. I went to Syracuse University, where I attended the Newhouse School of Communications. And to make a long story short, I wound up working at New York Newsday as an editor there, as a New York City tabloid. We did a lot of crime stories. Eventually, after Newsday folded, wound up at the New York Times. I was an editor there for 26 years, and I retired about a year and a half ago. And now I write mysteries full time.
I remember seeing the building through the window. I worked at Reuters News for 11 years.
Oh,
there in Times Square. I was the executive assistant to the global managing editor. I worked in the newsroom. I was not a journalist, but I was surrounded by very hardworking, truth-seeking journalists, and I had such a great respect for the profession because of that. But I loved the job. I mean, I got to travel, and it was just one of the highlights of my professional life.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Well, see, and it's all material, you know, you can always, you know, all this stuff, so much happen. I think in journalism, you know, if you're surrounded by that, so much stuff happens, you know, you will never lack for story material.
No. And I had started just a couple of weeks before the World Trade Center was hit. Mm. And I remember going to work that day and everybody was standing by the windows in the corner because we were on the 18th floor, I think. And you could see it. You could see the smoke coming out. And I called my boss. He was in London. And I said, a small plane just hit the World Trade Center, because that's what we thought when it first happened.
Yeah. No. Well, no, I've lived in Lower Manhattan since 1998. And we lived through 9/11. And my daughter was 1 year old at the time it occurred. And that was, boy, that's real life hitting you right there. And we were fortunate in that we were all okay. We had to evacuate our apartment for a few weeks, but otherwise we were okay. And obviously like two guys I grew up with died on 9/11. And it's still something that, affects me whenever I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a hole in the sky there. Yeah. Now, let's talk about your books. Your first novel, The Serpent Club, was published in 1999 by Pocket Books. Mm-hmm. Earned a starred review from Publishers Weekly. Your second novel, Miami Twilight, came out 2 years later. Were you living in Miami then?
No, I moved to New York. I sort of like had one of those peripatetic journalism careers where I started out actually in upstate New York. Worked there a little bit. Then I got tired of being cold and I went to Miami. I worked at the Miami Herald as a reporter and editor for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then I went across the country. Actually, I went to film school at USC for a little while. And I was in Los Angeles for in the mid 1980s. And film school didn't really work out, but I did wind up working for the Los Angeles Herald Examiner as a writer and editor there. And, you know, and I was thinking, you know, and I thought while I was there, well, I should, you know, I'm in LA, I should cover Hollywood. So that was kind of interesting.
That's another little cross current here, because I lived in LA from 81 to 92. Mm-hmm.
We must have met.
We may have. I remember the LA Weekly.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I remember the LA Times back when it was a reputable newspaper.
Don't get me going.
A little commentary there. Anyways, your Miami Twilight came out a year after that. In 2008, Toby Press printed Blood Alley, which also earned a starred review from Publishers Weekly. The independent Oak Tree Press published Bright Morning Star in 2015. 2023, Level Best Books published Public Morals, the first novel in the Devine Trilogy, that's D-E-V-I-N-E, which is named after the family at its center. And it's a series that examines the arc of law enforcement in New York from the 1980s to the present. Now, let's talk, you got your new book is Special Victim, and it's the mm-hmm. second book in that trilogy, meaning there's going to be a third, of course. Mm-hmm. Right. Talk about the book.
Well, Special Victim is based on the Central Park jogger case, which was something I had always, wanted to write about in a novelistic form for a while. And I never could really quite get the handle of it. And then when I finished Public Morals, my original intention with Public Morals was for that to be a standalone. But then when I finished it, I still had this idea that I wanted to do something about the Central Park jogger case. And it dawned on me that the characters I created in Public Morals could actually do that story. And I also felt that those characters still had, there was still some mileage in them. I wasn't going to, go to the well and, do the same old in a sequel. I was like, we could really advance the story. So I decided to use Sheila Devine, who is filmmaker and is the central character in the trilogy, to use her to tell the story in Special Victim, which is, as I say, based on the Central Park jogger case. And in Special Victim, Sheila's brother, Michael, is a prosecutor in the Manhattan DA's office. And when the story begins, he is the interim district attorney. He wants to have the job full time. But this case comes back that he had been involved in. It was a case in my fictional universe in Riverside Park where a female runner was attacked and left for dead. And Michael prosecuted some young men of color for the crime and got convictions for them. But now, about 12 years later, doubts are being raised about whether those convictions were in fact valid and whether in fact they committed the crime. And so Sheila is dragooned, sort of against her will, but she feels like this is too good an opportunity to pass up to do a film about the project. And she goes into it, and complications as they were ensue. She starts uncovering a lot of different evidence. And there's the story itself. And one of the things that I liked about doing it is that it's a departure for me because the novel is told from multiple points of view, and it jumps around in time a lot. I think the plot itself is linear, but to do that, I had to do a fair amount of jumping around among the characters and in time frames. That was a challenge. I hope I succeeded. So far the reviews on that have been positive.
Now, you said it started out as a standalone. How did it go from that to a trilogy? Did you, obviously you've written the second book, but did you say, okay, I'm going to make this a trilogy? At what point did you determine that?
After I was done with the second book, I still felt that the characters had a little bit, still had some mileage in them. And I had an idea for the third book, but at that point, nobody was biting. So basically, I wrote the first chapter of the third book, which is tentatively titled Stop and Frisk. And then I just set it aside. I said, I'm not going to write anymore. There were some other things I wanted to do. So I said, I'm not going to write any more on this until somebody shows some interest. And then I pitched the idea of the trilogy to Level Best Books, and somewhat to my pleasant surprise, they accepted it. And so I said, well, I guess I better write the third book. And I just finished writing the first draft of Stop and Frisk. And as I always say then, when I read over, and I've finished reading over the first draft, and whenever I do that, I say to myself, I know it's better than this. So I got to go back in and do the rewrites.
Are you an outliner? Do you do a lot of outlining?
No, I'm more of a pantser. I know what the end is going to be. And I know as I'm writing, I know what the next couple of beats are going to be. But I don't, you know, like I could not tell you, like when I'm writing chapter 4, I could not tell you what chapter 11 is going to be. I really don't.
You sound exactly like me. And for people who don't know the term pantser, it means by the seat of your pants. I'm a hybrid, and that sounds like what you are. I just started facilitating an adult writers group at the Clinton, New Jersey Library last week, and I do two a month at the New Hope, Pennsylvania Library. And I tell them, I always know my ending. I mean, the one time I didn't know my ending is the one that I'm writing now. I figured it out because I'm almost done, but it was a mistake. Because I struggled with where is this story going instead of knowing, at very least knowing where it ended up. But I'll do the same thing. I'll outline two or three chapters and write those. And I said the other night too that that also leaves room for surprise because I want to be surprised.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
I couldn't do that if I was somebody who outlined every single chapter in detail. I would lose interest. I would just lose my interest if I were trying to do that.
Yeah, I don't think there's a right or a wrong way of doing it. I think you have to, go through the process the best way that it works for you. And it sounds like, yeah, you and I are kind of like on the same page with this. And I agree with you that, it's really good to be surprised. You go along and then something I wasn't expecting hits me. And it's like, this is really good because like I wasn't expecting it. That means the readers weren't expecting it.
Right. That's one of the most pleasant things when I'm working on something and all of a sudden this character or even a character I didn't know was going to be in the story, like a taxi driver, ends up being pivotal to the story. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Until it happened. Now, how long have you been a member of the Mystery Writers America New York?
Since 1999 when The Serpent Club came out, and it was a gentleman who ran the bookstore, if you remember the bookstore Murder, Inc. on the Upper West Side.
I knew about it, yeah.
Yeah, I was signing some books there and everything. I was talking to him, and he said, you should join Mystery Writers of America. I mean, nobody else had said that to me. But I looked into it, and I said, yeah, I think this is a good idea. And so I turned around and did it.
Well, you've been in it long enough to have been on the board. Were you ever on the board?
No, I still have PTSD from when my wife and I were on the PTA board when our daughter was in kindergarten, and it was like, boy, was that a time suck. Mark, people like you and Nev and Hal Glasser and the people who do this, you have my enormous admiration and respect because I have a fairly good idea of just how much time and effort it takes. And I retired from the Times. I mean, I'm trying to take it a little bit easier now.
No, I totally understand that. I'm doing writing workshops now, and every day it's like, I don't know. I keep waiting for something to fall off the plate. Were you at the holiday party?
Yes, I was.
Okay. All right. Because they had the Leon Burstein Awards, and I thought that was really nice that it's a cash award now, and it's quite nice, and it's for a debut novel. It has to be an unpublished novel. Generally speaking, associate members. So it's right. It's authors who are members of the organization, but who haven't quite made the leap yet to being published. And I'm just putting it out there because anybody who listens, they really should think about submitting for that award if they're eligible.
Right.
And I love the panels. I know we're going to try to do more in-person get-togethers. I really like, I want one in New Jersey because going to the city is not easy for me. And after 25 years of living there, I don't really want to go to New York City. I mean, we're going to see Death Becomes Her in a few weeks. Uh-huh. I love the city, but I'm a country boy now. I live in the country.
Oh, there you go. I mean, actually, the Hoboken event was really good. Now, of course, I live in Manhattan. It's like, oh my God, am I going to get to Hoboken? What am I going to do? It's like, you get on the PATH train. It's like a 10-minute ride. You know, there you are. It's easy.
We take a bus. I go Philly's easier for me. I like going to Philly because now that I'm a senior, I have a free SEPTA pass for any kind of Philadelphia transportation.
Oh, it's free? Oh, that's odd.
Yeah, when you're 65. It's not available to New Yorkers. It's available to Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. So.
I don't get to Philly too often, but New York, you do have the half price Metro card.
Yes.
It's good.
I would love to have some more in-person New Jersey events for those of us who, there's quite a few of us out here. So we're working on that.
Yeah.
And do you have any parting words, anything you'd like to say? And then I also want to know, I want you to let people know where to get your books and where to find you.
Well, my books are available on a website near you. They're available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, or you could ask your independent bookseller if you want them. I do have a website. It's www.tomcoffeeauthor.com, where you can see more stuff about me than you might want to, than you would ever imagine. Interviews with me, and those have links to all my books. Which are all still available, for reading.
And that is Coffey.
That is correct.
Tom Coffey. Tom, it was a delight to meet you in Hoboken, and it's been really nice to talk to you again. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person at some point, And thank you for sharing everything with us, and hopefully you inspire some folks, I'm looking forward to reading your books.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Mark. I appreciate it. And I appreciate the chance to talk. Yes, and I do like the in-person events. I do think it's the kind of thing mystery writers did more of these before the pandemic. And a lot of times, due to my work schedule, I couldn't do it because I worked a lot of nights. And I used to think, after I retire, I can go to all of these things. But now, of course, it's been a struggle, I think, to get all this stuff back up and running.
Yes, we're doing our best. So, thanks a lot, and you have a great night.
Okay, Mark. Thank you. You too.
Yep. Bye.